I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Yeah, good.
What have you been up to today?
I've been to the opening of the new Pizza Express.
Was there a kids' party?
Yeah, yeah. Prince Andrew was there.
Yeah,
it was lovely. Hello.
How you doing?
It's been so long.
It has been a while, hasn't it?
It's been weeks.
We said we'd do every week, and that was about 8 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's not happening, is it?
It's nice to be
happening.
Back, though.
Life gets in the way.
Very much so. It's nice to, I don't know, which episode is this? Six? Seven?
I ain't got a clue, mate. Who
I'll
knows?
Have to look it up. Episode something. I'll edit it in afterwards.
I know who that is. It's my wife. There's three of us this week.
There's three of us here again, and this time it's somebody else.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself, Claire.
Hello, I'm Claire, JJ's wife.
Hello, JJ's wife.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk a bit about volunteering today.
What, at the hospital?
Well, we can if you want, but it's a little digression from where we are.
Okay.
Although it might tell you how...
volunteering at Feel the Force Day.
Volunteering at Feel the Force Day.
We had real volunteers this year.
We've always
proper.
They've always been real volunteers. It's just maybe been organised in a proper way. And
yeah,
that might
it
be
was
why Claire's
year.
Here.
It was official.
Official volunteering. Yeah. There were volunteers this year that I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah, same.
And normally I know everyone.
Yeah.
Because you kind of have to.
There was people just offered to come and help for the day.
And that's all because...
The lady loves milk tray. No? No, okay.
Well, she might do, but I'm not sure that's got anything to do with it. Claire, do you love milk tray?
Nah, not really.
Yeah.
No, Ferrero Rocher.
It's lucky because it looks nothing like a ninja.
Can't see me climbing through a window in a balaclava.
See you falling through a
get
window
stuck.
In a balaclava.
Get stuck.
I beg your pardon.
It's that fat samurai again. Keeps walking on roofs and going through them. Why do we build walls out of paper?
Fat samurai. Unbelievable. Anyway, digress anyone.
He's a Japanese gangster in New York. Fat Sam, your eye.
Oh, well, very good.
See what I did there?
Very good. Yeah, that was good.
Okay, fine, it's rubbish. Anyway, Claire, hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Get
how
a word
you?
In edgeways at some point. So we're here to talk about volunteering this week.
Yes.
And I thought maybe we could start with a bit of a history of how volunteering has always worked at Field of Force Day leading up to this point, because it's not like you can't speak to all the history.
No.
And then maybe in the second half we'll go on to talk about what you did this year and how you made it a little bit epic.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, so, volunteering is a subject close to my heart. I do it for my 9 to 5 or 8 to 4, so to speak, at the local hospital, and I really enjoy it. But Feel the Force Day basically is put on by volunteers. There's nobody involved that gets paid.
No?
So from day one, it's all been volunteers, and we really couldn't do it without.
No.
We're all volunteers.
I just
absolutely.
Had a flashback then to the first one. Because now when you say volunteers, obviously it's a big army of people.
It's about
but then
people.
It was like 5.
I think there was, well, there was the 3 of us.
There was...
Lee came along.
Mark and Natalie from Peterborough College that helped me get the venue.
I remember we bought a load of buckets for collecting money and Matt had one and he dropped it and smashed the corner. We'd only had it half an hour. And so I taped it all up. And then put a sign on it saying, Matt's bucket, because he broke it.
Yeah.
And everywhere he's been ever since, he's walked around with that bucket.
Yeah, yeah.
Still got
Matt
it in,
was
the,
there
in the locker.
Helping, and Jonathan.
Yeah.
It must have
Enzo was
maybe
there.
More than, maybe 10.
Yeah, maybe. Not very many. There
no.
again, if we'd had any more, we wouldn't have been able to fit anyone else in.
No,
so,
not compared to now.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, Claire, talk to us about where we started with volunteers after the 10 people who came to the first one. Talk about the first sort of Field of Force Day we did at Kingsgate. And the volunteers that were there for them.
You're asking something now. I've slept since then.
Oh, it's been a few years.
It's been a few years.
It was
the committee and it was the air cadets.
Yeah.
They were a great help.
Yeah.
And they've been to pretty much every event since.
Everyone, yeah.
Every single event since.
Yeah.
So, you know, couldn't do it without them, their feet
and
on the ground.
I'd say from the second one onwards... It was pretty much who we've got now, a couple of new ones now, but It was, is it Barry and Linda?
Barry and Linda.
Yeah. Emma and Martin.
Emma and Martin, my mum and dad, when they could walk.
My mum and dad.
Yeah.
Mum and, our mum's doing the sandwiches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Kingsgate.
And basically just everyone just chipping in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's never been, I remember I had this like harem of people following me around a couple of the years, and at the end of it I'm going, it takes me longer to come up with jobs for you lot than it does for me to just do it myself. So I need you just to go and find something to do.
Yeah.
Go and find something to do and make it better. If there's a box, either move it, empty it, or put it away. Do something with it. If there's people need help, go and help them. Go and stand by the door and stop
people
coming.
There's always something to do.
There's always something to do, but I can't think of everything, so I need you to go and do it. And they did.
Yeah.
And ironically, those cadets who were there, the youngest cadets who were with us on the first year, will now be 24.
Wow.
They'll be adults, probably out there and living their lives. The oldest cadets who would have been there on the day will now be, what, knocking 30?
Cool.
And so they're all, you know, some of them are still volunteering with us as adults.
Tell how young they start, because this year I don't think any of our cadets knew any of the guests.
No, well, that's because of the gap between the last event and the gap between this event. None of the cadets that were there this time would have been there last time as air cadets, because they'll have all aged out.
Some of them probably weren't even born when we did the first field of the
four. I checked that, so not quite.
Yeah.
But some of them would have been in a pram. They were like tiny babies, not quite toddlers when we did the first event. So, yeah, because you have to be 13 to be an air cadet. I mean, you can join slightly before. And the difference between our first event and our last event was, what, 12 and a half years.
Yeah.
So.
But I think what makes Feel the Force Day so special and what keeps volunteers coming back is, like, the spirit that it creates. The atmosphere when you come in and everyone's included and everyone's able to just have a good time.
Yeah.
That's kind of contagious. And it keeps the volunteers wanting to do it again and again and again because it's just so enjoyable.
So, I know this is weird, but Eddie and Leslie are classed as volunteers.
Absolutely. Yeah,
of course. Well, they are, though.
They are, but they're...
far away.
They're not. Yeah, they are far away.
Claire's classed as a volunteer because even though she's your wife.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure that we cover all aspects of everything.
Volunteering, I mean, all the costumers are volunteers.
Yeah, they're all volunteers. Yeah.
Several of the guests count as volunteers, really, because a lot of them... You know, we've had them in the past come at their own expense, come for free, and, you know...
They've given us money back, some of them. Yeah. So it's just completely been voluntary.
Yeah, all of it. So volunteers for us come in all shapes, sizes and ages. It's just watching... The bit that got me this year, I think, was when I asked Linda to do the health and safety stuff for us. So one of the things we have to do...
I knew you'd bring this up.
I like it. One of the things we have to do when you're doing a big event is to do all the health and safety work in the background. That means going out, doing risk assessments, you know, terrorism.
All the boring stuff plans. That I've got no idea about.
The reason I'm here, the terrorism plans that you need now. So since the Manchester Arena attacks, you need to have terrorism plans, you need to have evacuation plans, you need to have... liaisons with the police, you need to do work. And a lot of the stuff like that, the venue will take care of. But you still need to do the work to make sure it's in place.
Yeah.
Linda, it was a kind of an opportunity for her to try something new. And she'd never really done it before. And not that I wasn't expecting anything from her, but I was expecting to have to pick it up, look at it, do a bit of work on it to enhance it, make it what we needed, and then get it submitted so that it was all ready to go. And because I knew I'd have to do that, I was dragging my feet. I knew I had to do it, and I was just like, okay. It's like, you know, when you're at school and you just don't want to do your homework.
Yeah.
That's what it was like. And I finally got to the point where I needed to open that file and have a look at it. I opened it up and I'm like, Christ, this is amazing. I couldn't have done this better.
No.
There's nothing in there I could have done. The only thing I changed was there was a figure on the number of people that would attend that she didn't know the answer to, and I did, so I put that figure in. That's all I changed. Right, brilliant. There we go.
Oh.
And that is when I'm like, we're actually giving people an opportunity to do something they don't normally do, to try new things, maybe even make a career out of it.
And they're shining.
and then they're starting to shine and they're doing it really well, and now there's an opportunity, and then we can go and right, okay, well, with that money that we might make as a surplus on the event, let's invest in some of these volunteers so they've got the qualifications behind them they need. So Linda could go and do a health and safety course, for example, or something like that, and then grow from there. To that extent, that kind of speaks to your experience, Claire, doesn't it? Because it's kind of where you started, was volunteering with us. See my perfect segue here into what you now do for a living.
I've been on one of them and I fell off.
That's a different kind of segue.
Okay.
I'll spelled differently.
Yes.
It kind of speaks to your work.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I started doing the tombola when we first started. Yeah. I think the first year I was just there, wasn't I?
Yeah.
I was just one of these that was running around and doing what needed to be done.
I think we was all doing that. We didn't really know what we was doing at the first one. It was just chaos.
And yeah, then from there on, Emma and I were the tombola ladies and we would do the tombola. And then I got my job as a volunteer coordinator, really enjoyed it, gained a lot of experience from it. A job that Simon actually sort of introduced me to, which was really nice. He told me it was available, and
that's what we like him.
Yeah,
you never know when you're going to need a kidney.
He believed in me when I didn't believe in myself, and I went for it, and I got it. And you know,
well, do you want to broaden that explanation just to talk about what just happened to you and what was going on? You don't have to. You don't want to. We can edit this out. But
yeah, no, I was. Had a long career in retail banking, if you can call it a career, and was there for 17 years. And then, you know, due to the nature of the economy and the pattern that's happening with retail banking, my branch was closed, so I was made redundant. And I thought I'll have a nice solid 3 months off to just do something. And then Simon says, oh, there's a job and I think you'd be perfect for it. So do you want to go for it? And I was like, oh, okay.
And you're still there.
Didn't think I'd get it, but it just, yeah, it's just been the making of me, and I love it. Yeah. I've never loved a job as much as I love this.
I think I remember seeing that job come up and going, because I started in the NHS as a volunteer myself, because my little brother has volunteered at the hospital since about, I don't know the year, 2005 maybe. He must be knocking 20 years now, if not far off. So when I started looking after him, when I came back to the UK, I started volunteering there with him. So that was my first job in the NHS. And I've gone up and through into quite a senior position now. So I know that volunteering in the NHS can be a really powerful way to start a career and do something really good with it. But what I found was you'd come across sometimes a volunteer coordinator who wasn't necessarily that fond of the volunteers themselves. They saw them as a bit of a burden, and they didn't really want to engage with those volunteers. They saw them as just difficult to deal with, or they had a preference for certain groups of volunteers. And so if you were a younger person, because I think I was about 28 when I started doing that, then you were ignored or you were made to feel like a bit of a burden. There was one time back in the days when the old Edith Cavell Hospital was there, because I insisted on Matt being as independent as possible and being able to drive himself around a hospital, which he's perfectly capable of doing, some other volunteers had claimed that he was a danger and a nuisance and made a complaint about him, and the volunteer coordinator took their side and tried to cut his hours in half. So I raised hell about that. Eventually, I ended up as the equality lead in that hospital, and look what happened there. So, problem solving. So when the job came out, sorry, I've digressed massively there. when the job came out, I looked at it and I thought, that job needs someone who genuinely would actually like volunteers, who genuinely cares about the people who are doing it and appreciates those people for who they are. And I thought, there's only one person I know who's like that. That was you.
Yeah. And I do.
Yeah.
Really do.
And then we thought, well, if she can do that at work, maybe she can do that.
Might have had a dastardly plan in the background in 5 years' time.
Just give her a busman
after
holiday.
A global pandemic, I'm going to get her doing this for us as well.
Absolutely. But it has given me good insight as to what's needed. So role descriptions, volunteer software, so we can more easily communicate with people.
Yeah.
And I think we've got the real opportunity that if and when 2026 event happens, this is going to be the best year yet for volunteers.
Mm.
I can feel it.
Well, now it's as big as it is. So it's
going to have to be.
Huh?
It's going to have to be.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm just saying, you know, now we need volunteers more than ever. So last year, like I said at the beginning, it felt different this year. I know we've always had volunteers, but because it's so big now, you really notice, you know, what they do and how important they are. And the fact that we were just having people come in and messaging saying, I want to help. Well, do you know them? No, I don't know who they are. Who are they?
I think the sort of the moment for me this year was when I went to get some food. And so rarely in the past have I been able to go and get food halfway through a day. Normally, I remember one of the first years we did at Kingsgate, I got to like 6 in the evening and realised I hadn't even had a wee. I literally hadn't stopped all day. I was on my feet all day long.
I got picked up and put in a quiet area by Linda because I hadn't eaten either. She just sort of kidnapped me and shoved me in a corner and gave me a sandwich.
Yeah, whereas this year, you and me actually sat down and had a conversation and a sandwich together and a cup of tea.
We had a fantastic volunteer who signed up. We didn't know who she was, but she was in catering.
Yeah, she was in the sandwich room,
wasn't she? And she just run with it. It was so organised. She was fantastic.
I think
we had no complaints in that area, did we?
Nobody did.
And she was great.
Yeah.
And it's just like we had that space for her, and she had a proper, I mean, maybe sadly for the tea room that was there, but the benefit of us, we had the whole of the tea rooms to ourselves.
And credit goes to Rachel for that, for the social media post. She saw the social media post and applied that way, which was wonderful.
I love that.
And another thing that's really great is obviously Emma and I were on the tombola together. And we decided we wanted to do this together in the event as well. So we've both been looking after the volunteers. And Emma reached out to her workplace, and we had quite a few people from her workplace join as volunteers. So that was fantastic.
Well, it's not the first time something like that's happened, though, either, is it? Because I remember in the past at Sainsbury's, we had volunteers coming over from there when people you knew from when you worked there.
We did
friends of Emma's from when she
worked
there.
Thing,
yes,
didn't we?
And we had HSBC there. 1 year, corporate volunteering.
And I was going to say, HSBC came along, and there was a whole PR piece they did with it, which is an amazing
video. Professional video, it was stunning.
We just shared around on their social media. I mean, it was just
it's amazing, isn't it? When you look back at how we started.
That was well cringe, though, because made me the poster child for it. And really,
I'd had very redundant.
Absolutely.
I don't think anybody in that video still works there, do they?
Probably not.
No.
Do you remember years and years ago, you and me got a civic award from the council?
Mm-hmm.
Well, while that was going on, there's a guy there with us called Chaz who also worked for the council. And that day he got 2 civic awards, which you're not supposed to get, but he'd done 2 pieces of work they decided were worthy of a civic award.
Yeah.
I sat there with him that night, and both of us had just been made redundant from the council.
Brilliant.
And that was that.
Unbelievable.
So they're giving us awards.
Couldn't make us
redundant.
So. See you later.
Anyway, turns out we appreciate what you did.
What you did. There's the way out.
So it's interesting to me that we've gone from, I know we've talked before about how we want it to feel a bit school fate and how we want it to feel a bit like amateurish and, you know, a bit fun. And in fact, I went to a meeting in Aylesbury last week to talk about maybe doing an event over there, which is not the first time we've had this conversation.
Because it's been going on for about 20 years.
There's been a few things happened since we started that conversation. But I was talking to them about making it feel kind of a bit like a school fete and a bit more kind of down to earth, but also putting something local, a local sort of mark on it to make it feel like something of Aylesbury. And then realising that we'd managed to do that within our own event, there's something about of Peterborough about Phil the Force Day as it is.
Yeah.
And that really comes from the people that volunteer with us and how they've developed with it. So you look at the organising committee that we've got, every single one of them started as a volunteer in some way, shape or form. Whether it's, you know, Jenny started off just by making merchandise with Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's sitting on the organising committee planning the merchandise and what it's going to look like for the next 12 months and then directing what the manufacturing needs to look like.
And then we've also got guys with disabilities that are on the crew. I'm thinking Enzo.
Yeah.
Only because on the day, couldn't get rid of him. He was there from seven in the morning till like nine at night.
He was at the first one and the last one.
Yeah. And he just wouldn't go. He said to me at like 1 o'clock, well, I've got to go and get a mixed grill. And then he went off somewhere. An hour later, he was back.
We need to argue about the availability of food.
And he just kept going. And also, I don't want to forget Lindsay Salibanks.
Of course. How many guests has Lindsay arranged for us over the years?
And every 5 minutes we're getting an email saying, I've written to so-and-so, is this all right? You write away, girl.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll have whoever you can find. We ain't fussy.
No. A little fussy.
Yeah, yeah. But no, and she's very good at what she does, and she loves what she does.
Yeah, she's done it brilliantly for years.
So,
for us now.
You know, it's nice that they can all do their bit, which is...
Ultimately, this is what makes the event. And every time we do an event, I try and put a post out afterwards to say thank you to everybody. And I always deliberately avoid posting, tagging anyone in that post.
You can't be doing it.
Because I will almost certainly miss somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, look, producer Steve over there, currently working a laptop, has brought PCRFM to the event every single year, has interviewed our guests, and then we've nicked those videos every single year and used them for our own purposes. Every part of this is voluntary. Even right now, he's given up his time and this studio for us to record this podcast.
Yeah.
Thanks, producer Steve.
Thanks, producer Steve. They can't hear your thumbs up on a podcast, mate. but that's my point, is that
but that's
every aspect of
what
it is
it's about, isn't it? It's everyone doing their bit for everyone else.
Yeah. That's what it comes down
to. Which is, while we're here and...
Are there any moments for you over the years that really stand out in the context of volunteering, either of you, both of you?
Yeah, I will go for Eddie and Leslie. I know we've got thousands of people that do thousands of things, but they're not near.
Yeah.
They've also got two kids... That's slightly bonkers, in all fairness. but they do all the videos, they help with the parody. You know, they do stuff that's... Well, everything's important. But because they're so far away, you know, I will write them a song and I will message it to Leslie via Facebook. She will then sing it and record it and then send it back to me.
It's probably worth explaining to people who... Leslie is in the...
So Leslie's the lady that sings the parodies. She's also on stage at every event. She does a set. She sings.
She sang Warwick Davis Thighs at the festival.
That's the one, yeah. With Warwick Davis right in front of her. And he thought it was a pre-recording. He didn't think it was her singing.
Did he not?
He thought it was, which was quite amusing. And Eddie is her lovely husband, who I've known for many years.
How do you know Eddie?
I used to work with Eddie at... The Holiday Box at Haven. Many years ago, we used to get drunk and try and put ducks in saucepans. But that's another story altogether.
Okay, maybe we have to digress on that one. I'd like to introduce our new podcast. ducks in saucepans. How to lose a job at Haven.
So, Eddie does the stage stuff because that's where his experience is. He does magic and he's done comparing and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So we put him in charge of the stage on the day, so we've got someone to run that if I'm not, because I can't always be in one place at one time. I might be called off somewhere else. So that's become...
And that's all stuff that would cost a lot of money if we needed to get a song recorded.
Oh, yeah.
And they do it all for
definitely.
Free.
And it wouldn't be right, because with something like that, you've got to know it. You've got to have lived it to get that experience and to... Just to word it correctly, so it would be okay, but it wouldn't be like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So, all that gets put together. Then he does all the videos that we have on in the background in the day. And we sort out the stage running order and all that sort of stuff. And that amazes me because they're so far away. They're like in Wales.
Yeah.
And then they come down here and it's like they just live up the road.
It's like whenever I see them, it's like no time has passed.
Yeah,
I have to say, I mean, I hadn't seen them until May. I hadn't seen them since the last event, which was, October? Was it October?
Yeah.
October 2019?
I don't know when Leslie had Savannah, but this would have been the first time Savannah would have been.
Yeah.
And she's cuckoo. She was running around like a nutter. So, it's the joy of children.
For me... Some standout moments are in like the second through till the one before the showground was basically our mums doing the buffet because they work like Trojans, and there was no let up, and there was just banging out the cheese sandwiches one after the other, and
relentless cheese sandwich manufacturing line,
continuous,
and the spirit in the room, just the whole event, all of the volunteers, you can't really distinguish between, you know, who does the smallest thing and the biggest thing. It's all equally important. They're all cogs that make the whole thing run.
It is.
And I've said that so many times over the years.
We had a lot of girls from Goldhay one year. I think Melissa and Leslie helped buttering the bread and that sort of stuff. Everyone just turns up and does their bit and pays it forward.
Absolutely. And, of course, the cosplayers. We would be lost without the cosplayers.
Imagine the event without the cosplayers.
Exactly.
There'd be nobody there.
It's a very nice cathedral.
Yeah, that's it.
Come and have a look at the stained glass windows.
It is.
But they get so much from it as well. It's like a transaction, because they're giving us their time, but they're getting back such fulfilment.
Yeah. It's like when you go and see a gig, and you get more from the performer when you pay it back. So when you're cheering and clapping and singing, then it's a continuous cycle of energy. And it's just the same thing.
You go to stand up and no one's laughing, it's rubbish.
Yeah, that's it.
It's true. One of our long time, I think she's been there since the very first one, Katie, who comes every year. And cosplays. And she was a teddy bear most recently, and she's been Honey Monster. And she just,
was she zippy?
Yes, she was zippy at one point as well. But she absolutely loves it.
Does all that on her own. I think she rents the costumes herself and comes here from wherever she lives, miles away.
For me, it's little things like that that make it so magical, because everyone has a chance to enjoy the event, being part of the event.
Yeah.
And that's what magic about the event.
Yeah.
For me, it's a bit more of a personal one, this. So you know I lost Gail in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
I had some bad news in February this year about what had gone down, and I won't elaborate on that, but it was pretty rough for me, and I went off work. So you talk about struggling with mental health, I had the same thing. I honestly, through that period, I was wondering if I could ever go back to work. I've got quite a high pressure job. It's, you know, I do all right out of it, but it's a lot of work and it's hard, and I've worked really many, many years to get where I am, but I'm sat there going, I just don't see how I can go back. I'm not sure what I do, because the news I got kind of impacted my work as well. Putting Feel the Force Day on kind of reminded me that I'm still me. It allowed me to go, do you know what, I've got to win. I've actually done something that's as big as it ever was, and taking it from nowhere, because, you know, after 2019 and having to park it for so many years, to rebuild it and then put it on again, and to come into that event going, I haven't got as much to do as I used to. I'm really worried I've forgotten something.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, that was.
That was weird. But to be able to then go, look what we just did.
Yeah.
To go, it's as good as it ever was. And I'm the same person I was.
After all these years.
After all these years. Yeah. And after all this stuff I've just been through, to be able to go,
yeah,
I'm still me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. For me, that was like, I genuinely think that helped me get back to work.
Yeah.
Genuinely think it helped me stand back on my own two feet.
It was the love for the event that everyone come back and they just needed it.
Yeah. And I did.
Yeah.
And so I remember us saying before that last event, you know, we've got unfinished business. We need to do one more just to finish it off.
Yeah.
The showground wasn't how we wanted it to end.
No.
So let's do this one more. And then I came off this last one going, right, that's it. What's we doing next year? Come on, let's go. And do it. It's like, oh, no,
so
it never
funny,
ends.
Isn't it? We fell off the wagon.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. All I want is it to be over.
Well, you've only got to walk around, didn't you? And you see things happening and you think, well, this is why we do it.
Yeah.
And this is why we're probably doing it again, as much as we'll probably be cursing them in a couple of months.
You know, it's things like, I know it was really sad, George's funeral.
Yeah.
It reminds me every time how important it is.
Yeah.
We said in the car, didn't we, this is why we do it and why we want to stop all at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's so important to people.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Yeah.
But going back to these guys that have got limited time with us, and you don't realise that our day could be their only special day.
Yeah.
Or one of them.
And that is what
the
volunteers we have contribute to. Mm-hmm. So even if you're just making cheese sandwiches, and I don't use the term just as in a derisory way. You know, if you're making cheese sandwiches, you are contributing to making all those other volunteers come back again and again.
This year, Jonathan Shaw, I give him a job. I said, right, I want you to sit with Andy, who owned Optimus, and just get his tea and look after him.
Yeah.
And he was happy with that.
Well, he couldn't have been that.
Just sat in front of the lorry all day and looking after him. So he had a good day. He felt like he was helping, and he was. He kept Andy company, and if he wanted a cup of tea, Jonathan and Mandy would go and get it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mega. And Matt turns up in his costume every year.
Yeah.
Will you help him get his costume sorted?
Yeah. He didn't wear it. I brought him Taylor Swift this year, but he didn't wear it.
I think he hadn't really planned it or prepared for it. But I remember the year that he turned up dressed as Wonder Woman.
That was a classic.
The best part of it, he turned up as Wonder Woman and his girlfriend dumped him as a result. Yeah. That was great. I thought that was brilliant. He didn't want to be with her anymore anyway. He was trying to find a way of dumping her. But
that'll do it.
But he turns up as Wonder Woman and she said, Matt, I don't want to be with you anymore.
Okay. Who wore it best?
Brilliant.
Yeah, but he stormed it.
Depends what you're after. It was not the first time, though.
He said to me several times, me, woman. I said, yeah, you wear what you want, mate.
Well, because we did that burlesque night that time, yeah. Honestly. It's never been the same.
It's been asked for. People are keep... I had
a conversation about it today. Yeah. That's another story. I think that's a good moment for us to take a quick break.
Okay.
So, maybe come back in five.
Right,
and
see
we'll
you
talk
then.
About...
cheese, no.
About... this year and how epic Claire and Emma were.
Okay, so, we cool. can do that.
Right, see you in a minute.
Bye-bye.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Here we are again.
Did you have a rice cake?
No, I had a tin of fizzy pop and I think I've got a lot of wind ready to burp.
Okay, well, if you do that...
I'll turn around.
Feel free, I think.
Right, okay.
It's authentic. I like people to get to know us a bit better.
Oh, I'm sure they know us by now. Might come out the other end of it, then they know us.
We don't want to know your bowels. Anyway, speaking of someone who knows your bowels, hi Claire.
Hello.
So, second half, we're going to talk about... Sorry about that.
Talking about my bowels?
No, we're not talking
Please,
about your
let's
bowels.
Not.
Let's not do this. So, how
talking
often...
about ears...
How often does JJ empty his bowels?
No, we're talking about volunteers.
Three or four times a day.
Volunteers, we're talking
Oh, volunteers. Sorry, I got confused. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Simon.
How are you?
I'm all right, how are
you? Did you have a rice cake at the break?
No, thank you.
No, nor did I. I hate the bloody things.
I can't stand them, they smell.
They're disgusting, I don't know why you'd have them.
And
honestly.
They squeak.
I don't
why
even know why these came
that squeaks?
Thing. They squeak, the chocolate ones are disappointing, and JJ seemed to like them, and I don't even know how they ended up in the conversation.
I don't know why.
Stupid, honestly. Things you have a taste for.
Is that what we're talking about? We're just talking about rice cakes.
No, I'm just complaining about it because it came up so many times.
We're talking about ears.
That's slow cooker meals.
Volunteers.
Volunteers, sorry. So, second half, we're going to talk about
volunteers.
This year and the volunteers.
Yeah.
And the amazing things that you did.
It was well proper this year.
It was well proper.
Yeah.
And some of the things that you maybe have planned for our next event, whenever that might be.
Okay. So Emma and I have been looking at roles, creating defined role descriptions so that people will know what they're expected, where they need to be.
So we'd never done that before?
No, it was
kind of...
What made
you think about that?
My job. Funnily enough, I said, oh, they've got defined activities that they do. They don't just come and just walk around the hospital and say, what can I do?
No, you have to be a member of staff for that.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
So, it was just making it a little bit more structured so that the heat was off of you two, fewer people coming running up to you, what do you want me to do, what should I be doing, where should I be standing? Yeah. Emma and I took the reins for that. So we were kind of the focal point to that extent to say, if you don't know what to do, come and see us.
Yeah.
So that these guys can get on with the running of the event.
That was amazing. So good.
Yeah.
Not to be the focal point. Oh.
We did notice that the shifts are very long for Feel the Force Day. It's an early start and a late finish. So next year we're looking at splitting this and having a proper recruitment drive so that we've got a setup crew and a takedown crew.
Do you want to talk a bit about what the shift actually is? By how long do we do?
Feel the Force Day. So I suppose about 8 o'clock in the morning we start, don't we? Setting up, get to the lockup.
Unless you're
and the day before, actually, you guys start the day before because I very rarely come to that part because normally I'm at work. So Friday, 10 o'clock normally start. Pick up the van.
Yeah, some of us went to the cathedral, set up tables and this, that, and the other.
Yep.
Then the van turns up and we unload it. Everything needs to go where it needs to go.
Van needs to go where it needs to go because it can't stay where it is.
have to unpack stuff, put stuff back in the van that we don't need, blah, blah, blah. Mm,
mm.
It's ongoing ongoing process, and it takes...
hours.
Yeah.
It takes all day, and then in the evening, there's a bit of a get-together.
Yeah, we have a bit of a knees up, which is always
good. A bit
good,
of a jolly the night before. I've learned through bitter experience to take it easy.
Oh, yes, that time you turned up with a hangover.
I was stood on the tombola with Gail and I was just sweating wine. And she's like, you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And I just went and threw up in the toilet and I just thought, I'm going to die today.
Everyone was like,
it seems so obvious in hindsight.
Where's Claire? We was in the Bumble. It was that night in the Bumble.
Yeah. Was that the one with Trevor and Simon? I found that picture.
She was having two Subways.
I was having two Subways with Katie Fraser. I had 2 6-inch Subways.
Where's she gone?
Keeping an eye on me. I'd have probably ended up blooming lost forever.
I think it's really good how you've professionalised our volunteering.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And turned it into
this
something much more...
drunken reprobate.
Yeah, that was the night, because my mum was
the hard way.
She kept picking her boobs up and going behind the counter and pulling pints.
Yes.
I think there's a picture of it somewhere.
Well, yes. Almost certainly.
Whenever there was an opportunity for your mum to get...
She couldn't do that now. One, she can't stand up, and two, she's got no boobs.
There's a picture of me looking like a giant next to Trevor and Simon in the bundle that night. There's the pair of them under each armpit, basically.
Oh, my goodness. So, yes, professionalising it. The shifts are very, very long, so we're thinking of incentivising... a setup crew who can come and help on the Friday.
Incentivising.
Two tickets to the event. If they're helping on the Friday, they can have a ticket to the event on Saturday. If they're helping on the Saturday, we're thinking of a morning shift and an afternoon shift so they can enjoy the event in the morning or in the afternoon.
And if they help on the Saturday, they can have two tickets to the Sunday.
No.
Which is morning service and... and a free baptism.
And if they want to help with putting away on the Sunday at the lockup, then we can arrange tickets for the thing.
That's
so we're hoping that
that
level of, it's a bit of an offering back so they can enjoy the event as well as being part of the event, and hopefully we'll get a few more feet
on the
ground.
And it's better to do it in shifts because it was just, when it come to putting it all away this year, we was clapped out.
We're not getting any younger, are we?
Every year it gets harder.
Am I allowed to say, hanging out my arse?
I mean, you can.
Yeah, because I'm sure we was...
We don't have to. Ofcom have no power here.
It was only Enzo that kept going.
The only word you can't say on air is... I'm going to have to beep it now. I don't believe it. Oh.
Enzo, the...
He's the only... That wouldn't stop.
The nearly 70-year-old with cerebral palsy was fitter than a lot of us.
Do you know what? Enzo is literally a year older than my dad, and he was still running around like a...
He got given the little things to thread through the buckets. for him, that was the worst job in the world.
I didn't do it on purpose.
He's got shaky, wobbly hands and very low motor skills.
I gave him these buckets and the lids and the, tie wraps.
He did it.
He did them all wrong. Because there's two different types of buckets from different times we bought them. And he put the wrong lids on them, so none of them fitted.
Brilliant.
And it was like, oh, okay.
And then at the end of the day, just as he was going, we loaded him up with chocolate that was left and crisps, and he put 40 quid in the bucket. Yeah, and he said, because I want it to keep going.
Yeah, good lad.
I've
known Enzo since I was about 15.
Yeah. I think everyone has. Enzo's like a wizard. He's been around for hundreds of years.
Back in the day when Matt first started, volunteering again. Yeah. Matt started looking for a job, and if you're Matt, jobs mean volunteering basically. Nobody's ever, well, a couple of people have occasionally for certain things, but nobody's ever really employed him.
Mm-hmm.
So he used to volunteer at Shop Mobility at the top of Queensgate, and hand out wheelchairs, and he did that with John Fox.
Yeah.
Who's a local councillor around here. He was mayor.
Papa Smurf.
Yeah, that's right. And John Fox used to do it with Enzo.
Yeah.
And so Matt would go and meet Enzo, and Enzo used to get on Matt's nerves. And then he didn't, and then he didn't, and he didn't, and then he did. Yeah. And anyway, Matt had a great time until he went off to college, but Matt would have been about 14.
Wow.
Something like that when he started doing that, I think maybe. So I would have been 16. There you go. So that's when I first met Enzo, was when I was about 16.
Wow. Cool.
So that was 7 years ago.
And I think he's been with us since the beginning.
Yeah,
he's a national treasure.
He is. He should be.
Giving out posters and continually telling people about it. And
I mean, we talk about volunteering, Enzo and Lava Lamp. mm-hmm. driving force behind Lava.
Absolutely.
Lamp,
I don't know where he gets his tenacity from.
Yeah.
He just goes for it.
Yeah, and to have him part of what we do is amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, we digressed again.
Again.
So this year you professionalised it when you're looking at shifts for next year. What
shifts
else you got on the cards?
Shifts for next year, proper roles.
Yeah, it's good because we can do that now because it's a big and there's, you know, there is, if you categorise everything and section it out, there is plenty to be done.
There's loads.
Yeah.
So, it's always something. I mean, again, go back to the food. This year, because your mum's a bit older and not really able to do it anymore.
No.
I just went to Sainsbury's and got a load of platters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And actually, they went down really well.
Yeah.
And they didn't cost very much either, really.
I think it might have been, I don't know how much it was, but it might have been a little bit more expensive than normal. But
No, not really. So I always account for like £1,000 for food for volunteers and costumers.
Right.
Because once you've got 500 people...
It was hassle-free, wasn't it? It was just...
Well, we did the tuck shop.
Pick it up, done.
Yeah, so we did the tuck shop.
Yeah.
And while we were buying the stuff for the tuck shop, we also bought stuff for the volunteers. So we had water and crisps from Booker.
Yeah.
And then we did the just a delivery from Sainsbury's. And I think it was it Jenny's brother-in-law? Went and picked
something
it up for
like
us
that,
on the way in or something.
Mm.
And off he went and he came in.
And that wasn't that like the day or 2 days before we decided on that? It was a quick last minute
Well, yeah, because I tried like 3 or 4 different
people
catering
didn't come
services
back to us,
and they
or
either.
It was too expensive.
Well,
or,
I mean, to be fair to them, a couple of times I didn't get back to them quick enough and they got booked up.
But that was an easier way of doing it. Just here's your money. Thanks. We'll have the food.
Just hassle free.
And there was no complaints. There was something for everyone.
Yeah. I mean, to the extent, I've got a thing at work tomorrow where I'm going in and it's like a get-together for everyone and all the senior leadership team have decided to buy lunch for everyone. So we all chucked a tenner in to pay for it. And we're just doing that as well. Sainsbury's, go and get these platters. They're great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. That'll do.
Other supermarkets are available, but I'm not sure if the platters are.
That's worth looking at, but no, that was good.
Yeah.
Mm. One of the other things we want to do next year, so we've got some free volunteer software, which is really exciting.
Brilliant.
So we can upload the roles that we're going to have available, so people can actually apply for the roles they want to do, rather than just have volunteer at Feel the Force Day. It will be volunteer at Feel the Force Day, and would you like to do this? Would you like to do this? Would you like to be a wayfinder? Would you like to help with the lost children stand? Or, you know, various roles that we've got available, people can sort of look and match up their skills and think, I'd be good at that, or I'd enjoy that, and join in.
I'll tell you what we did have this year, which is comes under the volunteer role. I can't think of the lady's name or the dog, but we had the therapy dog.
Yeah. So they do stuff at the hospital, don't they, with you? You've organised them to come into the...
I don't know if
we
that
have
lady
pets as therapy,
does.
But that wasn't from... That wasn't...
But that was incredibly popular. Yeah. They were queuing out the door to go and see this dog.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It was. It was epic. It was really needed.
Yeah.
And the dog was amazing. When you went up to it, it sat on its back legs. Just
And
come
it's
up
certainly something we could look at for the quiet room.
I keep doing that and nobody will ever go near me when I do it.
I do it in my pants and I still get
no... That's nothing. Not surprising.
And you're
really
hairier than most dogs, so I don't really understand why.
Meanwhile.
Not from the eyebrows up, he's not.
That was very good.
You like that?
Give him a job. Give him a peanut. Yeah, it was amazing. It was, and it was, you know, a bit out of the way, but every time I went up and down to get changed, they was queuing out the door.
Absolutely, yeah. It was.
He's got the giggles now.
Sorry, we're going to take a minute. I said something genuinely funny for once. It's made my fucking day. No, oh, that was an original sigh as well. I don't think I've heard that anywhere else. I just came up with that. It does happen occasionally, and then I make myself laugh and I can't get out of it. So, obviously our events are quite expensive,
mm-hmm.
as we've learned the hard way several times over the
years. Not to get in, but to put on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the expensive for us, not for everyone else. That's the plan. Part of what we have to do every year is to fundraise. And previously we've done LFCC.
Yeah.
That was a big event and I really enjoyed going to it, but it is hard work. So I've talked before about the getting up in the morning on the Thursday, going over to the lockup, loading the car up, driving down to London.
It's just a slow
setting up the stand, driving all the way back from London, getting up the next morning at 5 a.m, driving around Peterborough and picking people up, driving down to London, running the event for the day, getting in the car, driving all the way back from London, going back, going to bed about 10 o'clock, getting up at 5 a.m, driving around Peterborough, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, until we break down on the Sunday night.
Yeah.
And then have to then on the Monday morning load everything back in the lockup. So it's like a, it's like, what's that, 6 days?
And there are 5 days in a row. Little nice things that happen, and we might come away with a bit of money.
Yeah, well, like I've said, we've never made as much money as we would have done if we'd each done a day shift in McDonald's.
Yeah.
Which is kind of an interesting benchmark to hold it against. But I think for me, the tricky bit is, it's that how hard work it has become.
Mm.
So when we first did it, that first year we went to LFCC, going down there, the two of us, doing all that work, that was all right.
Yeah.
But I was 34.
Yeah.
Man, I'm 32. A lot fitter.
Mm.
Several stone lighter.
I was a lot fatter.
Ironic that, isn't it?
Yeah, funny, isn't it?
Yeah, funny. You're fitter then than you are. Anyway, I would love for this... fulfill the Force Day to outlive us.
Mm.
I'd love it to be something that we can develop into a legacy that people take on in spite of us not being able to do it anymore. And the only way we do that really is through bringing through the next generation of volunteers. Because, you know, we could go and fundraise at LFCC if it wasn't 5 days of, you know, really, really, really hard work and a hell of a weekend.
And then you're not guaranteed what you're going to come back with.
And, well, and that's never really been the big deal. A lot of it was about guests and giving people a good time, but it's nice to make enough money to at least cover your costs.
Yeah.
But it's just how hard it is to do. So what do you think about, you know, how do we develop a kind of legacy for this? Because it's the people that are going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just having a brand and an event with a decent reputation is one thing, but that needs to be maintained by people with the right values.
Handing it on, as it were, to the right people for the job.
Yeah.
And it's got to stay true to what it is.
So I guess this is a bit of a call to action, isn't it? We're looking for some pad ones.
Are we?
So, like what I did there.
That's very good, very good. Absolutely. Why are we looking for pad ones? We're not dying, are we?
No, not yet.
Who are we handing it on to?
I don't mind, but someone to come up through might be interested in, you know, at some point taking on more responsibility and being part of it. Because I think, I might be wrong, I think on the organising committee I am the youngest. I think.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think you are.
If I'm not, I'm one of the youngest. And I'm 43.
Yeah.
And so, you know...
Just a little bit younger than me.
Yeah, sorry. So my point is that, you know, there's got to be someone needs to take this over. Someone needs to take responsibility from us because we're all getting older.
Yeah.
You know, I want
fair enough.
Nice holidays.
Well, like you say, LFCC used to be fun, but now it's just such hard work.
Oh, it's such hard work. I don't think I could do it.
Doing it. No.
I just couldn't physically do it. No. I'd be so tired it would wipe me out for a week afterwards, and it never used to be like that.
No, not at all.
But it is now.
Yeah.
I don't know how Nick gets stamina because Nick is a Highlander. And so
he just keeps
he's 470
going.
Years old and just has endless stamina for some reason. I don't know how he's doing it. I didn't meet him till he was older than I am now. And he's doing all the stuff that I was doing. I don't know how he does it.
It's hard work.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to be looking at reaching out to sort of Duke of Edinburgh type people and,
you
know, putting ourselves out there to the younger generation.
Yeah, I think that's
it. All looks good on a CV, doesn't it? It all looks very good on a CV, so come and join us.
And there will be someone that can take it and, you know.
I think it's just finding that next generation of people who want to take it through, who want to come and do stuff, because not one of us is precious about it.
No.
We're all keen for it to just thrive.
Absolutely.
In its own way. I had a conversation today about Fab Club. Remember Fab Club?
Yes.
I'm not saying nothing.
No, I know you're not, but I know because you know what Fab stood for at the beginning.
And it still does.
And still does. But it still does, in places, good things.
Mm.
The terminology is a little antiquated now, and you wouldn't use... If you were setting it up today, you'd never call it that.
No.
But it's been around for years, and people who go to it really genuinely appreciate it.
Mm. Because they know
Well, okay, maybe, but also because it actually does something that they're actually interested in as well. My point is that that's been going since, I think, the 70s.
Yeah.
So 50-odd years. The people who are doing it now were not part of the people who named it at the beginning.
No, or, that's right.
And it seemed quite progressive back in those days.
Mm.
There's a legacy to it. We're not talking about a major international charity that's going to be taking over the world, but there's a kind of movement behind it that people still get on board with, and it still adds value to people's lives. And kind of what I'm thinking is, what can we do that actually adds value to people's lives going forward? And how can we hand this over at some point to a new generation? Not yet. I'm not ready just
yet. No, not yet.
But,
we've only just got it back.
Yeah, exactly. But that's something to think about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course it is. And I'm sure that will be the case. That will be the natural flow of things.
Yeah. I mean, just think about the catering, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You had your new lady come along and help
yes.
with a lifetime's experience of catering, did an amazing mm-hmm. job. Well, up until recently, that was your mum's job.
Yeah.
And she can't do that job anymore, and
no,
that's okay.
No, she can't stay up.
No.
So, you don't know what time of day it is.
But now you've got somebody who can take that over and, mm-hmm. and build on it
yeah.
as a legacy.
Yes.
And I think we need that maybe across the board.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, as soon as we've got a date, we can then start recruiting, which is very exciting.
Yeah, but still we can't mention the date until we get...
Yeah, but we still can't mention the date because yeah, it's we know my fault. What it is.
I need to put a funding bid in.
We need to come round to yours for pizza and dog cuddles.
Pizza and dog cuddles, yeah.
And then we'll...
Maybe some wine, although Claire might be throwing up and eating Subway the next day.
I'm a lot more restrained now. I'm in my 40s, thank you. Early 40s.
It's so funny seeing you completely twatted.
No one knew where she'd gone. She just disappeared.
Oh, God. And I can still feel that hangover. Took me a long time to drink wine again after that day.
Yeah, it's a killer.
Yeah, I remember that well, because that was
the night... I've built up my tolerance since then, though.
No, I'm not surprised. We had,
you can make a handbag out of my liver.
And now we know on the organ donation register where Claire's liver's going.
That's right, yeah.
Birkin.
Radley.
Sure, one of the game. Yeah, that was a night Natalie Kushner was there.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, there's been a few nights in the Bumble that we've had over the years. I mean, it got to the point with the last event, this most recent one. Oh, we've broken Claire now.
I was just thinking of legging it down the street. Come on, Katie. Let's go Subway.
So to be clear, we've now professionalised our volunteering, including ourselves.
Well, that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's all about fun and life and living.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, just to be able to spend some time with the guests and the volunteers and sort of a group of people.
Yeah, I do like that social gathering. Although I'm always wary that I've got a busy day the next day.
Yeah, I am, unlike Claire was, aware that I'm
Look, what happened was, people kept buying me wine, and I have no self-control.
You know who you blame,
it was Ian. He kept, have another one. And after you've had a few, you start to forget, don't you?
And Ian's like that, Ian and Yvonne, they're both like that.
I do this on purpose.
Do you want another drink?
Every time we have one of those gatherings, I drive.
Yes.
I always drive, and I do it because
it stops
me having more than one pint. Yeah. I have a pint, and then I'm okay to drive home, but I can't do more than that.
You might not be able to do that now, because your car can drive itself, so...
No, it's not that clever. I mean, it drives itself a little
bit.
Take
me home.
Yeah. Thank you, BMW, you might have ruined my plans. We'll still end up in prison at some point if something goes wrong. Yeah, no, I'm still not doing it.
Oh, dear, we've gone off track again, haven't
we? Yeah, that's what happens on these things.
So anyway, the next part of the plan is to write a proposal for funding. As soon as we get funding, then we can announce a date.
That we've already got agreed, yes.
Yeah.
That we can't announce because we haven't got any funding yet.
Right, no. Team meeting.
It's entirely down to me. So what we need to do is volunteer at my house with dogs, wine and pizza and write the bid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a high five. Excellent.
We can do that.
Right. So that's what we'll do.
Watch this space.
Watch this space. So on that bombshell, I think it's time to end, as Mr. Clarkson would say.
Okay.
So,
I won't say see you next week, because who knows, might be next month.
Oh, it can't be next week, I'm going on holiday again.
Oh, right, well, of course you are.
Yeah. It's not that I have lots of holidays, it's just it's been so bloody long since we've last done it.
Yeah, that's right.
So I am on holiday next week, so it's two more weeks that I'm away, and then I'll be back again. So it'll be at least 3 weeks' time before we do this again. But it's lovely to see you both.
Yeah, and I won't be here for the next one, although I've really enjoyed being here today.
It's been lovely to have you.
So thanks for having me,
guys. It's been lovely to see you. Who are you?
Do you need me to drop you off somewhere else tonight?
Yes, please. Just leave him here with
Steve.
I was trying to think. I knew Steve. I couldn't remember the name of producer.
Producer. Couldn't remember his title. It's all right, JJ. I've got a doghouse you can sleep in.
Have you?
There you go. Boom, boom.
There you go. He'll be all right. As long as the dog's in there with him.
Yeah.
He'll be quite happy. He'll be happier there than he is with me.
Yeah.
You can have Poppy Dog. Every morning at 6:45, she wakes up and therefore everyone else must be awake because she's old and deaf and a little bit blind.
Yeah.
It's the sun coming up.
Dolly's got smelly breath.
Of course she's got smelly breath. She's an old dog.
Yeah. That's what they do, isn't it?
Smelly everything.
Lovely smelly breath.
Yeah. But she's still lovely.
Right, okay.
Anyway. Lovely to see you both.
Thanks for listening.
Lovely to see you here, Claire.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
We'll be back in a few weeks with another set of idle ramblings around something and a plan to talk about something that we digress from.
Yeah, we do that a lot. Right. Yeah. Bye.
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 How to Build a Comic Con was hosted by Simon Howard and JJ Lucia Wright. It was recorded and produced at the Peterborough Community Radio Studios in Hurlington, Orton, Melbourne, Peterborough.